Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Keep it here, Chicago sports fans, because we're back with more Best of the Score.
Coach now joins us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Hey, Coach.
Hello there, Lawrence and Clay. We're Spigs.
We're Spigs.
Spigs is, he is running some errands. And Tanny's out too. That's right. Yeah. It's just.
Oh, okay. All right. That's why it was a little slow there on the voice. I got it. Okay. Now it all makes sense.
Yes, Coach, because no. I'm really bad at running the board. That's me. That's my fault, Coach. No.
I didn't say you were bad. I said slow, okay? Slow. No, everything is great. I'm actually going to sneak out of town tomorrow for 2 days. But tonight, just kind of getting things organized. Mass at Holy Name Cathedral, some pasta pickup at the Rosebud, and back home now to pack, and probably watch A Wonderful Life, and that's a night. That's a Christmas Eve. You know?
I mean, that's a great night to have. I love that movie. I watch it every year, just like most of America. There's so many cool parts of it. I get teary-eyed every time he reads the letter from Sam Wainwright. Every time, because that's been his boy for forever. And he didn't forget about him, and he sent him the $25,000, and he's like, we gonna make this right.
Even after he stole his girl, too.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. You're right, Colette. You are right. Oh, man. No, it's a good one. But, so everything is good. And then I'll get back here Saturday, probably afternoon or evening, and get ready for a little 49er football Sunday night, you know?
Yes, it's exciting. Before we talk about the 49ers, though, let's go back. Let's go back to Saturday. Coach, what was it like for you to watch that game between the Bears and the Packers?
Well, just when you thought you saw it all, something else happened good for the Bears, you know? I mean, I was impressed with Green Bay, be quite honest with you. You know, their leading safety was out, their signal caller, and our obviously Parsons. And then Jacobs didn't practice all week, so we knew he hurt. Their best tackle was hurt. And then Love went in there. And then when their backup came out, I'll tell you what, 9-for-11 with Malik Willis, I really thought under the circumstances with some key guys out that I thought the Bears would initially get after them, you know, a little bit more than that. I thought Green Bay did a good job. But the one thing, obviously, there were several things, you know, the Bears' defense, it was a great change in strategy. You know, the first time, I mean, you could just hear Dennis Allen, okay, we gave up two passes trying to pressure him some over 40 yards the first time out. That ain't going to happen this time. So Dennis Allen adjusted the whole game plan. You know, they played that too high. They played some single high. but they were going to stay on top of these speed receivers and make them drive, you know, 15, 16, 17 plays, which they did, but then we stop them in the red zone. So I really like that plan. And then on offense, you know, anytime you can run the ball like the Bears can, you know, for, you know, over 5 yards a carry, 150 yards rushing, you're going to have a chance to win every week, anywhere against who. And that the Bears run game has really kind of turned into be their lifeline for this offense. And boy, I just love it. I thought it was fantastic. And then, you know, obviously special teams with our man, Cairo, I mean, he was outstanding, and special teams player of the week, he deserved it.
And Joshua Blackwell with the big onside kick recovery.
Yes, and, you know, he's the same guy. So some of these guys, you know, you forget that they're on the team. He's the guy that blocked the field goal, you know, against the Raiders. We know that. So he's a guy that he plays two or three different positions over there. And, we took advantage of every opportunity that, you know, the Green Bay gave us. The Bears seized the moment, and that's what good teams have to do.
Yeah, Ben Johnson's press conference, he actually said him and the staff were having a meeting, and they thought Josh Blackwell might be the best special teamer in the league. But, Coach, as a defensive guy, I know you've had to go against a number of systems. How do you go against stopping a team that main threat is a running back out the backfield, and if he plays, he's trending towards playing, from what I'm hearing, a tight end instead of these big wide receivers. How do you go about trying to devise a game plan against that?
Well, it starts, you know, with the running game. And now you said who's trending toward playing, Clay? I lost
George
lost
Kittle. Sorry, we're talking about the 49ers right now. George Kittle, tight end, and then Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield and everything he's doing. Their main players are a tight end and a running back. So it's like, how do you go about stopping a team that seems to be good because of their running back and tight end?
Absolutely. No, McCaffrey, there's a reason you're right on point, Clay. I mean, there's a reason he's all pro, one of the best backs, and most productive, I would say, because when you look at his statistics running and then look at his statistics catching the ball out of the backfield, and you can flex him out. I mean, he's a mismatch for linebackers. When they move him out of the backfield, whether it's motion or line him up there, and you have a linebacker that's going to try to cover him in space, you know, you're at a disadvantage. I mean, he's that good. And Kittle, I expect Kittle to play. And, you know, because of the run game, teams have to gang up to stop the run, and that opens up the play action pass. You know this from playing the position. The easiest high percentage throw, get the ball out quick for play action passes, is the tight end. And they do a lot of movement stuff too. You know, Purdy's not obviously the athlete, near the athlete that Caleb is, but they will do the boots and the waggles and the movement passes just like the Bears do. And their tight ends are primary targets, just like the Bears. So there's a lot of similarities with offensive philosophies. And I'll tell you what, one other thing, I did a study on these guys when I was working at Fox out in L.A., and their offense, at one time, when they went to the Super Bowl that year, we had the Super Bowl, so I had to do something and kind of look at them close, and they were doing more shifts and motions than anybody in the NFL. But here was the key, the shifts and the motions, and then the run game. And then I'm telling you now, they had a pass that was identical to the run. So, you know, you had motions and shifts getting guys moving, and then all of a sudden, bang, here comes McCaffrey at you. You think it's a run and it's a pass. The next time it's reverse. So you think, okay, I'm going to be soft and play the pass, and they hand him the football. So, and that's very similar to what Ben does here with Chicago. We all know that. So, you know, these two offenses, I think, there's a lot more similar from a philosophy standpoint than what people probably realize.
Coach, I wanted to bring this up and let you and Clay talk about it a little bit. And that's, the throws at the end of the game that Caleb Williams made, where you have the I think there was a dagger over the middle late in the game, then obviously the throw to Jahdae Walker and the throw to DJ Moore at the end of the game to win it. Those throws, from someone who hasn't been a part of pro football, those were incredible throws. And Jahdae Walker, Clay, you were talking about it before the show. That catch was a lot harder than people think it was. Why?
Yeah, I think for me, it's the fact that this guy hasn't played, and coach has probably seen this before. He's probably looked at training camp, said, wow, man, this kid can play. Like, where is he from? And then next thing you know, training camp, we're in preseason. He makes a couple plays in preseason, but guess what? Once you get between the lines on Sunday, big game, this guy hasn't even been on the field, things change. You guys get a little tight. For him to go out in that situation as a rookie, not to let the lights get too bright, that's what was probably the most impressive thing for me, because I know when I was a rookie, yeah, in training camp, murdered it. Preseason games, not that much pressure. Okay, you get in the regular season in these big games, that's when stuff starts speeding up for you. The crowd, you let it get the better you. Jahdae Walker did not flinch. That play, he had to go up and get his feet down, and then the dagger at the beginning of the game to come into Bears-Packers. A almost playoff-type atmosphere. Honestly, it felt more like a Super Bowl-type atmosphere. To make those plays, to me, that's what was special in context, because this is a rookie that has not taken a snap before the game.
You know, it was funny. I'm sitting here today flicking through the TV, and I don't know what station it was. They had plays that could have and should have and so forth. And they showed, I don't know what, you guys might be able to help me with what year it was, but the Steelers were playing somebody in the AFC Championship. No, wait. And the receiver was Thigpen, okay? Remember the receiver for the Steelers? Tyler Thigpen, I think his name was. I know his last name was Thigpen.
Yancey Thigpen, right?
Yancey Thigpen? They showed the play today, I swear to God. And he was he might have been a Pro Bowl receiver. He was their number one. I do know that. And they showed a play today where the defense busted the coverage, same thing as Green Bay, and he was wide open. Guys, he was just like Walker in the corner of the end zone, and Ben lofted the pass up to him, and he bobbled it and dropped it. And Pittsburgh did not go on from there. That was the end of their season. So it's ironic that I was watching that today on one of these shows, and there's our man Walker, just like Clay described it. I mean, and then you got to give Caleb credit too. How many times have we seen Caleb with a guy open in the end zone or close to being open, not that open, okay, and throw the ball 3 feet over his head or 2 feet out of bounds? So the throw, the catch, the play call, you can't script it any better.
Yeah, absolutely, Coach. I mean, that was a zero blitz. He noticed where he had to go with the ball, and he didn't make an easy throw because he had to release the ball before he knew that Green Bay had screwed up the coverage. So that play could have been a lofted catch that was easy, but no, that was a play that he thought there was going to be a guy trailing him, and he threw it high and deep. High back five is what they call it in Chicago, and he had to make the catch. He couldn't bobble it. If he bobbled it, guess what? That's out of the end zone. So that's why I was so impressed, and especially since this was a guy that it was his first game ever playing in the National Football League.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and he, you know, for him to get to this point, and I was talking about this on the morning show, I mean, you know, guys that come in as free agents get scrutinized and getting evaluated daily from the coaches, from the personnel people, more so than an established player. Because they want to see if the guy has anything. Can they trust him? So this guy earned it. I don't know much about him other than what we talked about, but he obviously has done enough in practice and meetings and everything else to have Ben Johnson's trust in this situation. And, you know, and then Lawrence, you mentioned the other pass. I mean, that was crazy. I mean, that play, it wasn't open. We didn't fool him on the long touchdown, the game winner, but it was just a fantastic pass, obviously, by Caleb. And I said this when I was doing my NBC show. I drew this play up, and I said I had a close-up of DJ Moore's eyes. And I said, hey, anybody that's out there that's a receiver, watch his focus. And he watched that ball with those eyes all the way into his hands. I mean, you couldn't draw it up or have an illustration better if you're trying to teach a young kid how to catch a football. No different than catching a baseball. You know, you got to see it all the way into the glove. Football, you got to see it all the way into your hands. And it was just unbelievable because he was covered. You know, whether it was the guy was on his back halfway, but I mean, he had to make a play on that. It was outstanding.
The way that Caleb has been able to win these games in dramatic fashion, I don't know if we should get used to it, but it feels like we should get used to it because he just keeps doing it. When you have a player that is in those moments, doesn't flinch, how much confidence does that give a huddle in a locker room?
Well, I think it gives the team in the locker room and the coaches and the fans a lot of confidence from the standpoint that, okay, we're down two scores. If we can somehow get one and get it within reach, we can win this game. And that's huge. I mean, I've been on a lot of teams where, heck, if you fall behind by one touchdown, the game's over. You know, you don't feel you've got any chance to score. So this is just the opposite of that. And he's, you know, now all of a sudden when you do it, what, six times this year, it's nothing new for him. He's been there. He's done it. So the confidence is real. It's not a coach standing up there saying, we can do this thing, guys. No, they've done it.
And just for some context to that, Caleb Williams now leads the NFL with six fourth quarter comebacks. He tied Peyton Manning, who had six in 1999, for the most in a season for any player under the age of 25. If he gets one more, that's all Caleb's. But Coach, I want to talk about this red zone defense. The Bears let the Packers get into the red zone. Not only the red zone, the low red zone five times. And this was one of the best red zone teams in the league. Obviously, you had the takeaway there. Besides the takeaway, what did you see that helped the Bears to stop the Packers when they were that close in the low red zone five times?
Well, you know, your defensive line has to show up here. And I thought they did because, you know, we were playing combination coverages and there's always the threat for Green Bay to throw it. So, you know, that's a tough situation on the Packers because they stress your defense. Usually most teams, when they get down there, it's either run or pass. And you look at what's happened in the past and the history, and now you kind of stack your defense accordingly. But not with these guys. These guys are balanced. I mean, we saw in the first game they handed the ball to Jacobs in the same situation, and he carried everybody into the end zone for a touchdown. So, you know, you got to stop the run, number one, and then obviously with the pass, I mean, you just got to do a fantastic job. There's no real secret to it. I always thought I kept track of this. I would blitz one out about every five times in the red zone just to keep the offense honest. But really, if you've got an experienced quarterback and you line up like you're going to blitz, it's the easiest thing for a quarterback to read. And as crazy as that sounds, and Green Bay proved that when we blitzed them the first time and they hit those two bombs. But if you're blitzing and you walk up and he sees it, man, it's just one-on-one coverage and now the offense has an advantage. So you want to line up like you're playing those zones, and then you're counting on to get safety help if it's a pass.
Coach, hang in there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you about the importance of this game, the fact that the Bears are in Week 17, and they are still playing for the number one seed, and we'll get your picks for this weekend. Coach was nice enough to hang around with us to give us some picks here going into the holiday weekend. All right, Coach, what you got?
Well, here we go. Okay, I got some picks. I like I'm going kind of with teams that are semi-desperate for different reasons. I'm going with the Bills. Okay, they need to win. I mean, it's going to be a tough one. I know that, Philly, but they can get it. Green Bay, I'm not sure. Packers, I think, bounced back. I don't know where Baltimore's at right now. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, come on. And Dallas, they got Washington, but Jerry's got them all stirred up down there in Big D. I think the Cowboys do it.
That was Coach's Pick. So our segment, courtesy of Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. All right, Coach, we appreciate you, and we appreciate you all year. You got the big plans tonight to go get some pasta and mass and everything else. Merry Christmas to you, Coach, and have a wonderful time tonight.
Merry Christmas, Coach.
Okay. Yeah, same to you guys and everybody out there. We appreciate all of our listeners, and we will be back, hopefully, with another win next week. We'll talk to you then.
Keep it here, Chicago sports fans, because we're back with more Best of the Score.
We've been talking a lot of Bears, if you're just tuning in, and why wouldn't we? There's so much to talk about when it comes to the Bears. And I hear what Caleb Williams saying coming into the segment, but let's be honest. There was nothing fun about last year. Nothing. And if I would have told you after the Thanksgiving Day game in Detroit last season that the Bears, 1 year later, would have a Coach of the Year candidate, right? That Caleb Williams would be talked about as Mr. Clutch, that the Bears would have 11 wins.
Make the playoffs,
have an opportunity to win the NFC North. You know, that the take the North and never give it back. They actually, for the first time since Ryan Poles became general manager, two consecutive weeks, they're in first place in the NFC North. So they did take the North, and they haven't given it back just yet. And they may actually clinch the North, which is amazing. They have to beat San Francisco this weekend to make it happen. And
no, they can. If Green Bay loses on Saturday, they clinch.
Yes, that's true.
So they could actually clinch the division before they ever step on the field in San Francisco.
So technically,
sorry to yell at you.
No, Ruthie,
I want to make sure we all know
you're not different than anyone else. Welcome to the score. The thing that sticks out to me is that, and there are three ways they can do it.
Yeah,
they beat San Francisco. They don't have to worry about anybody else.
Yes,
they could tie with San Francisco, and if Green Bay ties this weekend, they clinch the NFC North. And obviously,
a lot of
if the Packers lose. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But I tried to make it easy. Anyway, the point
is,
I think that there's this notion that, and this narrative that this is just the beginning. And yeah, that may be true. But I said this earlier, and I just want to reiterate it, Ruthie, because
I hear you.
Anyone who has grown up a Bears fan knows what I'm about to say. When has there been a time where in the modern era, and let's say since the invention of color television, when has there been a time where the Bears have truly sustained success? Right? They won the championship in 1963. It doesn't matter what era you began following the Bears. 63, they win the championship. It's a one-shot deal sandwiched between the greatest dynasty of modern football, the Green Bay Packers and Lombardi, right? Then you have Butkus and Sayers. They never came close to sniffing the playoffs. The 1970s, a forgettable decade. Yes, they had sweetness, but they didn't win. 85, the greatest single season that any football team has had in the Super Bowl era. And you're thinking it's just the beginning of a dynasty. And it wasn't. The 90s, forgettable. Lovie Smith comes in. They make the Super Bowl in 2006 with Rex Grossman, and you're thinking, you know, Urlacher, Briggs, Peanut, this is the beginning, Hester, this is the beginning of something really special. It was not. 2018, Matt Nagy comes in, Mitch Trubisky. You would never have thought back then, you know, Mitchell Trubisky is going to be a guy that you see as a professional backup in commercials, ordering food for people in insurance company type stuff, right? But that was it. A one-shot deal. Double doink happens. You're thinking, man, the Bears will get a kicker in 2019 and they'll be back to where they need to be. Never happened. That's why. Make this the year. Don't squander this opportunity. It's wide open. There are like six teams that you could say right now can win the championship. The Bears are on that list. Don't squander this opportunity.
I hear you. And I think Ben Johnson knows that better than most. Because if you remember, Dan Campbell, 2 years ago in tears. 2 years ago? 2 years ago in tears.
Yeah, San Francisco.
When they lost. And he said, that might have been our shot. And that's the NFL. I mean, you look at, other than the Patriots dynasty and the Chiefs, who I'm still convinced will be back, it's so hard to win in this league. And the parity is so, you know, I don't even know the right word. Every year, it's consistent. The parity is consistent every year. So I just think that when you have an opportunity to capitalize on, and I know this is crazy because we're supposed to be smarter than this, but I don't know how to describe what's happening this year other than magical.
Yes.
It's been magic. And things, the ball is bouncing their way. All these years of, you know, the Bears being on the other side of these kinds of games, they're finding ways to win them. And it does feel like there is an opportunity to seize the moment. And I get it. I mean, I hear you. And I think Ben Johnson hears you too, because he was a part of that. You know, when the Lions lost and they felt like that was their time.
There's so many metrics that we use to be able to show statistically how well a team is doing or how poorly a team is doing. The one thing you cannot quantify, truly quantify in sports is luck, but it exists.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And there's been a lot of luck this year. Now, to be fair, the Bears have pounced every opportunity they've gotten. They've taken advantage. Mm-hmm. That's why they're 11-4. That's why they're fighting for an NFC North crown. That's why they're fighting for a potential top seed in the NFC. That's why they are, dare I say it, a Super Bowl contender in 2025 heading into 2026. But you don't know that this is going to happen next year. You just don't. You know, there's an assumption that Caleb Williams is going to take that next step next year. It may not happen. Didn't happen with Jaden Daniels. You know, I'm sure when Joe Burrow made the Super Bowl a few years ago with the Bengals and they faced the Rams, they thought, well, this is the beginning of something really special. It has not been.
Mm-hmm.
As great as Burrow is when he's healthy. You know, and we've gone through a two-decade stretch now of essentially either Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes winning a championship. And every now and then, someone gets another crack, whether it was Stafford with the Rams, the Eagles when they won with Nick Foles, the Eagles when they won with Jalen Hurts. But it's really hard to be one of those teams.
Yeah. And look at the Eagles this year, you know? I mean, after last year. It's just, it's hard.
And that's why, at least if you are a true follower of Bears history, I mean, there's, and I said this the other day when they beat the Packers. There's a whole generation of Bears fans who have never experienced what they experienced that night against Green Bay. Like a true defining win.
Yeah.
Right? Because they've been so bad for so long, with the exception of 2018. When you find yourself in this position, you have to take advantage. Because there's a lot of stuff happening this year that you just cannot explain. Facing a whole multitude of backup quarterbacks each week. These weird plays that have happened. You know, you mentioned it earlier, Ruthie, that Blackwell has made these phenomenal plays on special teams. But there are also some weird plays that the other team is making.
Right.
That he's been able to take advantage of,
right,
that you can't explain. I mean, you could not. You were outplayed by Malik Willis.
Yeah.
For nearly an entire football game the other night. And you needed this miracle comeback against a Jordan Loveless team,
mm-hmm,
and a Micah Parsons-less team.
Right.
But you got it.
Right.
So when those things happen, you can't just stop there. You have to take advantage of what's unfolding this year.
I hear you. And I think there's something very beautiful in the way that the belief, you know, that's sort of been the theme of the year, is that when you have these fourth quarter comebacks and you have the evidence and it's on paper, the proof is in the pudding, we can do it, we've seen it. Like, that's all happening within Halas Hall. But I think the fan base and the city also is finally starting to believe, because for a while, it just sort of felt like everyone was like waiting for the other shoe to fall. Like everyone was saying, it's too good to be true. This mm-hmm. isn't the Bears that we know and love. And then things happen like Saturday night. And I think you're sitting there. And I think the Eagles, the win over the Eagles in Philly on Black Friday was a defining moment for this fan base, for the team. But Saturday night was took everything to another level where it was, again, just the moment and the theatrics of it all, where the fan base is saying, why should we doubt this team? Like, there's no reason to doubt this team anymore. And so you believe, with every single game on their schedule that's the next two games and then beyond, the Bears have a chance to win it because of who they are and their new identity. And I think that's been really fun to see, just sort of the evolution of the fan base sort of just come around and be like, this is the moment. Like, this is the time.
Seize the moment.
Yeah.
That's what you want. And I think the thing that struck me, and there were many years where I was down on the sidelines watching the Bears, and almost always in all those big moments that the Bears have had over the years. And again, it doesn't matter when you started following Bears football. I think this holds true for you, whether you started in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and at the start of this millennium. Almost always, the best defining play that the Bears have produced has been a big hit by the defense, an incredible return on special teams, a kick, a run,
yeah,
a pick six, a fumble recovery. But how many times has there been a defining throw? And that's what made what we saw Saturday night so different. It wasn't just one defining throw. Two.
Yeah. 100%. To an undrafted rookie, one of them.
Yes.
By the way.
With an all-out blitz coming in. Yeah, I know the Packers screwed up. But you know what? Caleb still had to recognize what was happening.
Absolutely.
And place the ball perfectly.
And trust the receiver.
Correct. So that's one. And then he threw DJ Moore open. Because DJ Moore was not open on that walk-off touchdown pass until the ball landed in the basket.
Mm-hmm.
He had a defensive back draped all over him. That throw is as good as any throw you will see in the NFL this season. And it is arguably the best throw that any Bears fan has seen a quarterback make in their lifetime. Think about that.
Yeah.
And there have been some cool pass plays,
sure,
very few of them, over the course of Bears history. Just off the top of my head,
yeah,
the Rex Grossman to Bernard Berrien bomb in the NFC Championship game against New Orleans. You know, a few years back, there was a primetime game in San Diego before the Chargers moved. Jay Cutler just fired this rifle to Zach Miller, who made this incredible one-handed catch to score a touchdown, and the Bears won that game. But that's not Green Bay.
In overtime, with the division on the line, in the new era, like everything that just means for the moment, I think is what makes it so special. And of course, the actual act of the throw and the catch is unbelievable as well.
Which is phenomenal. And all I'm saying is, let's be realistic about what we've watched from the Bears through history. When you have an opportunity to win a championship, and they have an opportunity this year, you know, it's not some crazy talk anymore.
Right.
They believe it inside that building that they're good enough to win a championship. And I think what happened against Green Bay, you know, the word belief has been used a lot. Fans now believe it.
Right.
Take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Because you don't know if you're ever going to have this opportunity again. They may. You think they will, because everyone should be back offensively next year, I believe. Second year in the system. But think about every move they made, Ruthie, this offseason. Every move was a home run.
Well, it's interesting. I wonder, do you believe the Bears can go beat the San Francisco 49ers this weekend? Like, and to you listening, do you believe that the Bears can go beat the San Francisco 49ers this weekend, control their own destiny, and lock up the division, maybe try and get the one seed? Is there belief out after what we saw on Monday night? I mean, I think that's that was very telling about that team is peaking in the right moment. And the Bears struggled for 55 minutes. Like, when we zoom out, you know, the Bears really struggled for 55 minutes on Saturday. So I just wonder, do you, Zach Zaidman, do you believe?
I think what they did against Philadelphia changed the way I look at the team.
Okay.
Because when they went on the road and they bullied the Eagles.
I know.
Right. So that shows you that they can
in their house.
Right. So they can beat anybody. There's no one that you look at in the NFC. And I know the Rams are really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good. They're not unbeatable.
Right.
Seahawks are really good. They're not unbeatable. Green Bay is really good when healthy. And as we saw, they're beatable.
Yeah.
So and even when you don't play well. So for the Bears, there's a chance here this year. This is a unique year. It's a weird year in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because there is no favorite. That's why you got to take advantage of it.
Keep it here, Chicago sports fans, because we're back with more Best of the Score.
Let's talk about the tight end position. Like, when did you make the transition to it? Because I imagine you were probably just running over people in high school. Like, no matter what position you were playing, I imagine you were just like, oh, well, either Clay's going to be the quarterback because he's the best athlete, or we're just going to throw him the ball as the wide receiver because he's the best athlete. So when did you transition to playing primarily tight end?
So history, my second favorite subject, my first favorite subject is tight end Lawrence Holmes. So thank you for asking that question. No, in high school, I was a wide receiver for football as a point guard, long jumper, high jumper, still got my school records at Dwight. I know it's not that hard, but still got them. And yeah, in high school, wide receiver, throw up the ball. I had 24 touchdowns my senior year. We made the playoffs. We lost to Addison Driscoll. For some reason, they dropped down to 2A to play us, which didn't make any sense, and they beat the brakes off of us. But I go to Missouri State. I get a scholarship as a wide receiver and safety, end up playing wide receiver, get redshirted. Redshirt freshman year, I'm a wide receiver. Redshirt sophomore year, our two senior tight ends get hurt in training camp. I'm the biggest wide receiver. I thought about transferring because they said, Clay, we want to move you to tight end. And I was a backup receiver. I thought I could still play in receiver and maybe make the league because I was a bigger guy. Go to my first practice at tight end. I go, wow. It's a lot easier getting open against linebackers and safeties than it is against cornerbacks. I got to figure out this whole blocking thing, but you realize if you're athletic enough to play wide receiver and you can put on weight, if you're willing to be scrappy and you're willing to block, what you got to do is learn the technique, put on the weight, and then you can be a really good tight end. And that's what I made my goal. And obviously, fast forward, that year as a sophomore, 2 weeks in training camp, I ended up being an All-American as a sophomore, All-American as a junior, All-American as a senior, went to the combine, had a really good combine, ended up getting drafted in the fourth round of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Man, okay. All right, so there's a lot that goes into that position, and I think that over the last year since Ben Johnson's hiring and knowing that he came up as a tight ends coach, and he's worked with Dan Campbell, who was also a tight end and a tight ends coach. Why do you think that's now becoming a place where we can find head coaches? I feel like it's a pretty simple answer that the passing game concepts are connected to the protections. So you have a player that's an offensive lineman and a wide receiver, kind of. What was your experience like having to kind of live in both worlds?
Absolutely. You see offensive linemen, the O-line coaches don't typically become head coaches because they're so engrossed in just the lineman aspect of the game. Wide receiver coaches, you don't see them being head coaches that often either because they are just so engrossed in coverages and catching the ball and these route combinations. Tight end coaches, they have to do both. My tight end coach for the New Orleans Saints, Dan Campbell. My tight end coach for the New England Patriots, fired now, Brian Daboll. Really intelligent guys. You have to know all the protection schemes because you have to know everything works. You get the mic point, got to know where your combinations are going in the running game. You got to know where who you're blocking in the passing game, who's got this blitz, who's got that blitz. Guess what? You also have to know coverage when you go out and passes. If it's too high, we got this. If it's one high, we got this. Who's hot on this route? Who's hot on that route? So you're getting the full experience of the game. You got to run block. You got to pass block. You got to run the routes. You got to do everything. And I think that's why these coaches come from tight end position to be so successful, because they have to see the whole field. You got to make sure that you know what the defensive ends are doing, the linebackers are doing, and the safeties and the cornerbacks. It all comes together. And also, just as a tight end, so impressive to see what a guy like Colston Loveland's doing, not to take it off topic here.
No, that's on topic. That's good.
It takes so much to get into the league and to block as a tight end. You can see some tight ends come out as a rookie and they make some plays catching the football. But to be in these motions, to pick up this offense, you have to know so much protection, blocking-wise. And they're motioning these guys in double-teaming. They're motioning these guys and sifting them backside. That's a lot to do. And Colston Loveland, as a 22-year-old, the thing I've most been impressed with by him is his blocking ability and how he's been able to take all these motions, all these shifts in the backfield, on the line. He's lining up outside and to still be so successful.
What was the point? What was it? Let me back up. What was it like for you making the jump from FCS to the pros? Okay. What was that learning curve like for you?
Oh, it was tough. It was tough. And going from Missouri State to the pros, athletically, I was there. I could play with the guys. Like, my starting tight end at Philly when I got drafted was Brent Celek. You know, I ran a 4.5 40. I jumped 40 inches, 30 reps on the bench press, 10.5 broad jump. Really good athlete. But when you come to the playbook, It takes a long time. Do you think they asked me to protect at Missouri State? I was out on every route. They wanted me to catch the football and score some touchdowns. Former wide receiver, guess what? Now you're in pass pro. Now you're trying to block these big DNs. I told you a story about one of my first games we're playing against the Houston Texans. I don't know if you guys will remember this guy. He was a first overall pick. His name was Mario Williams. I had never been picked up by a grown man on a football field before, and I'm talking about both feet off the ground.
Dangling.
This man picked me up. Luckily for me, I had Jason Peters as my tackle, and he realized I needed some help, and he came over there and made sure that Michael Vick didn't get depleted. But the pass protection for me was probably the biggest thing to come along, and even the run blocking. And at Missouri State, I would get really low, I'd fire off, and I was just more athletic and stronger than a lot of these guys. You try to do that against DeMarcus Ware, he's going to give you a wiggle. He's going to move out the way. So now, technically sound, you can't just fire off and wrestle with these guys. You have to be so good with technique. Your pad level is huge. Your leverage, snap count. I had never heard of a silent count before. In Missouri State, I could talk to my mom, my grandma in the stands. We had, what, maybe 5,000 fans there? You're in Monday Night Football, Philadelphia Eagles. You can't hear yourself think in some of these away games, and now you have to do a silent count. And to see some of these young tight ends picking that up, a la Colston Loveland, like I've said, has been so impressive to me because I've lived it. I know how difficult that is. I've seen a lot of young tight ends come in the league and struggle with that, and there has really been no hesitance from him to pick up this offense and to be so successful.
When was the point where you felt comfortable? Like, you were like, I'm a pro now. I figured some of this stuff out.
I'll be honest. I dealt with this imposter syndrome my first couple years. I'm like, man, I'm from Missouri State. I come into this huddle. There's Mike Vick. There's Shady McCoy. There's Deshaun Jackson, Jason Peters. And by year 3 to 4, that's when I really felt comfortable.
So the Jacksonville years?
The Jacksonville years were the best years that I played football. Unfortunately, we had the 32nd out of 32 team offense in the league. And that was when I was like, okay, I can play. And I got myself to a point. It's all this mentality. And I love how you see Caleb and all these guys really being so proficient at becoming so confident so early, just because I know how hard it is for these young kids to come in and do that. You get to a point to where you look in a mirror, you say, who am I looking at? I'm looking at the best tight end in the league. I finally got to that point, and that's how you start playing and you last in this league. You have to be so confident. You have to think that there's nobody that can beat you, and that's probably wrong. But for these young guys to come in and already have that mentality is so special and unique. And I think it just speaks to the coaching they have. I had great coaching, but the coaching and what Ben Johnson and his staff has done to get these guys up to speed and have them be real guys that are contributing on this team, Luther Burden, Colson Loveland, Ozzie Trapillo, like, it's been so impressive to see how these guys have stepped up and been integral parts of this team.
My feeling, and I've said this over the last, I don't know, 2 months, and I know that the numbers don't necessarily bear this out, Clay. I feel that Cole Kmet's having his best year as a Bear. He's doing everything. Anything they ask him to do, whether he's lining up at H-back, they're doing the inverted wishbone, he's making big catches, and yeah, he's not giving you a ton of run after the catch, but that's okay. I feel like if you're asking someone to be Mr. Everything, Cole Kmet has done that. You watch the tape, you played the position. Am I crazy for having that thought?
No, and I know people in Chicago probably know me as a leader of the Cole Kmet fan club, and now I'm starting a new fan club for Colson Loveland. You know, I love the tight end, and when I see a tight end, I know a good one. I've played with Gronk. I've played with Martellus Bennett, Kobe Fleener, Brent Celek. A number of these guys I've been in huddles with, meeting rooms with. I've seen how they work. Cole Kmet is special because he is a guy that you can run the ball towards. You can run power with him. You can run duo to him. You can run zone to him. Usually, you get some of these tight ends, you got to put them on the backside of zone because they can't hold the point. You can't even count on them to have a good double team with an offensive tackle, much less handle a defensive end on his own. Cole Kmet can do that. Cole Kmet can also run down the field and catch a pass. That's not common for a guy to be able to do both. A lot of times I've been in situations to where you start to become predictable because you have to bring in the tight end that can block. And then you have to bring in the tight end that can catch. And the defense goes, okay, the tight end that can catch is in the game. They're either going to sift them backside, arc release them to a safety, or throw them the football. Cole Kmet, you don't know. That's why play action works so much better, because you can run and pass with these guys. Colson Loveland, too. This guy's supposed to be a receiving tight end. You see him on how many front sides of zones, how many front sides of duo, that this guy is still holding his own and even getting movement. To get movement as a tight end in these scenarios is very uncommon. They have one of the best tight end rooms in the league, and that's a shout-out to Jim Dre, the tight end coach for the Bears, a tight end I was actually drafted in the same draft class with a couple rounds before, Jim, if you're listening. But he was a great player from Stanford, and he has done a great job of teaching these guys how to block. That was his MO when he came out, and watching his film, the crossover tape, I remember watching Jim Dre and being like, man, this cat can block.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.